And good morning. Welcome back from the stand. Today, from the EAA radio studios, as the Blue Angels tear up the airspace. But that's okay, because we're going to turn things over to the Air Force right now. One of the greatest perks of this job is getting to interview a wide variety of people. And I'm very honored to have General Tom Boussier with me. He is the commander of the 8th Air Force, celebrating 75 years. Congratulations on 75 years, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah. The 8th Air Force, Barksdale Air Force Base, is your current location.
Correct.
Where did the original 8th Air Force, where were they headquartered?
So 8th Air Force grew out of the tension and drama of World War II.
Right.
And we stood up the command in England. At High Wycombe, England, was the headquarters location of the Mighty 8th during World War II. And interestingly enough, we celebrated the 75th anniversary of the Mighty 8th in February this year. This whole year is a big celebration year, not only for our Air Force.
Right.
So our Air Force is celebrating our 70th anniversary, but the Mighty 8th goes back 75 years. And interestingly enough, I was in London 2 weeks ago talking with the Royal Air Force, okay, who we grew up side and side with the Bomber Command and the Royal Air Force during World War II. So we have very close bonds with the Royal Air Force. But 8th Air Force's first missions in 1942 was on the 4th of July. We actually borrowed bombers from the Royal Air Force. They're U.S. Boston light bombers, but we had to borrow them because we didn't have any.
Right.
And I told my brothers and sisters in the Royal Air Force, I said, I thought it was a pretty bold move to do our first missions in 8th Air Force on the 4th of July in England.
Definitely. That's a piece of history I've never heard.
Yeah.
What were the kind of bombers?
For the first missions, there were Boston light bombers.
Okay. Wow.
That we actually were made in the U.S., but they were bought by the Royal Air Force.
Lend-lease, right.
Right.
And, of course, during World War II, the Mighty 8th, the B-17, the B-24, flying missions into Germany and back. Do you remember offhand how many aircraft were deployed at that time?
We had thousands.
Yeah.
You know, it's absolutely amazing to me now in 2017 to think about what, you know, not only what our Army Air Force is back then, that grew into our Air Force we know today, but there were days back in World War II that we would launch just shy of 1,000 bombers,
right,
and 800 to 900 fighters to protect them on one sortie, one mission across the Channel into Europe, and think about what the sacrifices that those folks made in World War II, and the heritage that we get to enjoy today is pretty cool.
Yes. After World War II, what was the transition for the Mighty 8th?
So the Mighty 8th has had a storied history all the way from World War II to today. So every major conflict the Mighty 8th has been part of, and we've had bombers, fighters, tankers, reconnaissance over the years. Big play in obviously in World War II.
Right.
Big play in Vietnam. So if you look at the history of the B-52 in Vietnam from the Mighty 8th and the massive amount of sorties that they generated out of the Pacific, again, just inspiring the sacrifices that those that have come before us, and then obviously every conflict since then.
Right.
Kind of a resurgence in the understanding and affirmation of long-range air power.
And what's the current assignment? The current assignments for the 8th?
What airframes we have now?
Are you deployed?
Okay, so yeah, so
yeah. Sorry.
We're seeing a increasing demand signal for bombers globally.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a presence in the Pacific. We have a presence in Southeast Asia, and we periodically go to Europe with our bombers, and then we obviously have a strong, firm commitment to U.S. Strategic Command for one leg of the nuclear triad.
Okay. You yourself are an experienced pilot, quite a few hours under your belt. What have you flown?
I've flown a little bit varied aircraft. I have a unique, somewhat blessed background in the Air Force. I spent 4.5 years flying T-38s, the twin-engine, twin-seat trainers. So I did that pilot training for 4.5 years. I wasn't a slow learner. I just stayed behind for a few years and taught folks how to fly.
I was going to say, not a slow learner, but probably a good teacher.
That, the jury's still out on that one.
Okay.
But then I flew F-15 Cs, air-to-air fighters, for 6 years. And then I went to fly the B-2 stealth bomber for the last 20 years. And then last year I decided that the B-1 would be a really cool airplane to fly.
Were you here? Have you been here all week? Or
no, I just got here yesterday.
Just yesterday. Yeah. Okay, so you missed the B-1 flyby during the night show.
I heard about it.
It was great.
Yeah,
I mean, it really was. I've never seen one at night. We've had them here, you know, during the day air show, but it really was fantastic to watch the afterburners. Just almost dark. It was a nice demonstration.
And you probably had the opportunity to hear the sound of freedom.
Oh, definitely. And that's here at EIA, we do celebrate that quite a bit. Not only the current sound of freedom, but of course the past,
the heritage,
sound of
right.
The heritage. And the heritage flight yesterday was amazing, with the F-35, A-10, and two P-51
right.
Mustangs. And I believe they'll be doing that again next couple of days. It's a privilege to be able to watch that and really salute the Armed Forces for creating the heritage program and continuing it on.
Yeah, it's a pretty neat sight to see the old warbirds tied mm-hmm. in with today's hardware.
What is, when you come to a show like this, do you get to look at anything, or are you pretty much going from assignment to assignment?
A little bit of both. So I have some scheduled items that we're trying to get done, but one of the coolest things to do is to actually go back and look at some of the old warbirds and talk to the folks that are just fascinated with the history. And you know, the great historians of the Mighty Eighth like to say that history makes you knowledgeable, heritage makes you proud.
Okay.
And you can tell there's a lot of proud people out there that put a lot of heart and soul into their old warbirds.
Definitely. And a lot of sweat equity that goes into it and out of their pocketbooks as well.
Yeah.
But it is, and I work for the Commemorative Air Force, so we do a lot of World War II and interact with veterans. And just for many of them, just having that reconnection to the airplane in a World War II situation, it unlocks stories that their families didn't even know, but they'll tell us because we're standing next to their old airplane. I would think the same sort of thing may happen with some of the older aircraft, like the B-52 that's out there that served in Vietnam. And have you had any experiences like that where veterans have reconnected through the airplanes?
Yeah, absolutely. Happens almost every month. Not only we have the privilege of reaching back all the way to World War II.
Right.
So we still have some World War II warriors that are around, and they may be fading fast, but they're still pretty strong when it comes to their memories of what they did. In February, we had the opportunity of returning a Mighty Eighth warrior from World War II's dog tags that were discovered in England last year. So we returned his dog tags to him in Louisiana. A few months ago, I had the opportunity to speak to a group of Vietnam vets that flew B-52s. And although their age may show the years, their mind and their memories are amazing. They reach back and whether you're looking in the eyes of a 90-year-old World War II vet, or a 70-year-old Vietnam vet, or a 21-year-old airman, that connective tissue between the past and the present is pretty amazing.
One of the reasons you're here, obviously, is recruitment.
Right.
If someone is interested in an Air Force career, how do they get in contact with you?
So for me personally, just look for me walking around the campus of Oshkosh. But we do have our Air Force recruiting folks here. And they have their trailer and one of the Air Force race cars. And
yes,
anybody in an Air Force uniform or search down the Air Force recruiting, we would love to talk to folks about joining our Air Force.
Good. Any words of wisdom on the 75th anniversary of the 8th?
Well, no, just we are extremely proud to be part of an organization that has served our nation for 75 years. And all we do is we look back and we try to make the folks that we have the privilege of walking in their footsteps proud.
All right. And what do you see in the future for the 8th?
The Mighty 8th will be around for a long time. So a very storied organization for our great Air Force. And I see the future is very bright and strong. And we're actually looking forward to getting the B-21 Raider in the fleet.
Excellent. All right. And you will be at Theater in the Woods tomorrow night?
Correct.
Doing a presentation there as well between the day show and the night show. Major General Tom Bussier, thank you for joining us this morning. He's the commander of the 8th Air Force. You're listening to EIA Radio.